1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, these are God's words. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. There are many who lack confidence. There are many who have a false confidence. But there are many who lack confidence because they know themselves, they know their smallness, they can see the world that God has made. They are small, they feel small even by comparison to the masses of humanity. There are those who are in authority and are, it feels impossible to resist them. Our abilities are small and imperfect. We have so often failed in earthly things. We have more often failed in spiritual things. And yet we long to have confidence. You desire to have confidence. And one of the great reasons is that you were created to have it. You're created to be in the image of God. You are created to have dominion over all the rest of the creatures. You're designed to be confident, to have a great place in God's creation. And not only were we created to have it, but the redeemed are redeemed to have it, to be the children of God, to be a royal priesthood, to be kings and priests to our God. We are redeemed unto a greater confidence even than that unto which we were created. So as we desire confidence, as we aim at confidence, what is it at which we are aiming? What are we aiming at? And as we get confidence, as we increase in confidence, what will it look like? Well, in one great way, the book of 1 John has been a book about confidence. There is no greater confidence than being sure that you have the Lord Jesus. There is no greater confidence than being sure that you have eternal life, that you are the children of God, that you will be as holy as Jesus is holy. Children, as you desire and seek and aim at growing in confidence, here is the great confidence that a man can have. Not only to know Jesus Christ, but to know that you have Jesus Christ. This is what he has just been saying. We have not only gone through 1 John consecutively in the devotionals for the last several months, but we also had this one on the Friday of this past week, and we have referred to it much as we've been studying assurance out of the Confession of Faith. But here we'll remind you of verses 12 and 13. He who has the Son has life. And then in verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so knowing that you have life is knowing that you have the Son. And our passage this afternoon begins, now this is the confidence that we have in him. So here is what it looks like. When you know that you have Jesus, when you know that you have God the Son himself, when you know that you have life, here is how it plays out in your daily life. And there are at least these four things that we have in these two verses. One, confidence, true confidence, is confidence in him. Second, confidence is confidence that he hears, confidence that he hears us. Third, confidence is confidence to ask great things. And finally, confidence is confidence that he answers. The confidence of those that, as verse 13 says, know that they have eternal life, is confidence in a person. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. And this isn't just saying that we're confident about him, that we put our trust in him. That's true. You have confidence in Jesus. You have faith in Jesus. But faith in Jesus, and especially as he gives you assurance of your faith in him, gives you confidence not only in Jesus, but in your being in Jesus. In other words, it's not just that you put your trust in him, but that your trust in him puts you into him and puts him into you. You get union with Christ through faith in Christ. And so the confidence of a Christian is not a self-confidence, except that the Christian self is united to the Lord Jesus. And in him, we have confidence. So it's not just confidence in an idea. It's not just confidence in our resting upon him. It's confidence in our union with him. Sometime, perhaps, you have had a little taste of this. You have done something well and you have received the smile and the compliment of one of your parents or maybe someone else, and the encouragement that you had in your relationship with them was something that gave you, as it were, the ability to stand a little taller and walk with more purpose and joy, and everything was in a little bit more vibrant color at the time. Usually this is also the case when a man and a woman are betrothed. They've come to be committed to get married, and it's the time finally for stirring up the affection, and everything seems brighter and everything is more joyful, and you just have that confidence because he is yours, or that confidence because she is yours. These are the smallest little tastes. How much greater the confidence that you have when you are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God smiles upon you in him and has given you eternal life in him. And as his Spirit convinces you that you are Christ's, this confidence that you have is confidence not just about ideas, but confidence that you have that belongs to a reality into which you have come. Assurance of faith produces such confidence. This is the confidence that we have. It's confidence that is in him in the first place. Assurance of faith also, as it produces this confidence, it produces prayer. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. So what does it look like when you have confidence in the Lord Jesus, when you are sure about belonging to the Lord Jesus? Well, it looks like prayer. It looks like talking to him. Your life, your certainty, your strength, your gladness, your diligence, your zeal, your purpose, you have all of these things in Jesus now. Everything that comes up, you tell him about. Everything you need, you ask him about. Everything you enjoy, you thank him for. Because your confidence is in a person. You have this shared life with him and dependence upon him. And so you bring everything to him. If we ask anything, confidence that is in Jesus Christ produces prayer through Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ. Maybe you are not much of a praying person. And maybe the reason that you do not pray more, or maybe the reason that when you do pray, you do not pray with more confidence, is because you're lacking assurance of faith. We've been hearing, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. The Lord instructs you, commands you to seek assurance of faith, to seek certainty that you yourself are in the Lord Jesus, that you have eternal life in him, that you have the Son. Well, one of the things that God will give you by this assurance is to become a more confident person in him, to become a more praying person, to become one who prays with confidence. So the confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus is a confidence that, first of all, is in him. Second of all, it's a confidence that he hears. Not only do we pray, but we pray with this certainty that he is listening. Now, verse 14 is not talking about our getting the requests. How do you know that, looking at verses 14 and 15 together? Because verse 15 adds, knowing that we are getting to the requests, to what verse 14 says. So this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. So knowing that you have the petitions is actually something different than what verse 14 is saying. Verse 14 is saying the confidence that you have in Jesus is a confidence that doesn't just lead you to pray, but it's a confidence that when you are praying, you're aware that God is listening. You're aware that he cares. You not only do you matter to him, what you have to say matters to God. Now, does God already know what he's going to do? Absolutely, he does. We ask according to his will. This is one thing that belonging to him in Christ makes us even more desirous to do, to learn what the Bible says, so that the more our hearts and minds are shaped to be like Christ's, as we pray, the more we will ask what is according to his will. If his word, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, the Lord Jesus says, ask whatever you want and you will have it. Well, the ask whatever you want is conditioned by his word abiding in you. We want to ask according to his will. So God already knows what he's going to say and or what he's going to do. And sometimes you hear people say, well, if God already knows, why would I pray? Why would you pray? The living God cares what you say. He cares what you think. He pays attention as you lift up your heart to him. If this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He's listening. He cares. Prayer then is much more than making requests to God. It is engagement with God. It's fellowship with him. Note that the implied hearer here is God himself, but more specifically, the God-man. It's the Lord Jesus. It is, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay, so he's the one in whom we're believing. That you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, and still him, the Son of God, Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, it's still the Son of God, Jesus, he hears us. When one faithful minister was here and he was speaking on the Trinity, he asked if anyone knew the one prayer in the Bible that was to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was, of course, Stephen crying out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Although he gave partial credit for Peter saying, Lord, help, when he was on the water. But here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it's Jesus to whom we pray. If we ask anything according to his will, it's still the same him. It's still the same object as all the way through from verse 13. Jesus hears us because he's not just a man. He's also God, and he can hear what we pray. Jesus is God. Prayer is worship. It must be offered to him alone and through him, through the Lord Jesus alone. It cannot, must not be offered to any mere man. Prayer is then a fellowship. We're speaking and he is hearing, just as you have often had fellowship with him in his word. Perhaps even now, as you are hearing the passage opened and you're reviewing the text and the phrases are ringing in your ears, and by his servant, the Lord Jesus is explaining to you what it means and pressing the claims of the passage upon you. He is engaging you, and your heart is saying, yes, my Lord Jesus, my confidence is in you. My life is joined to yours. I love to pray to you. Thank you for listening to me. He speaks by his word, and you hear. You have fellowship with him in the hearing of his word. Well, you also have fellowship with him in praying, because if you have him and you have eternal life, one of the things that you know, one of the great parts of the confidence that you have in him, is that as you pray, God is listening to you. This ought very much to change how you pray if you are accustomed to praying in a wooden manner or a robotic manner. If you're accustomed to praying read prayers without it coming from your own heart and agreeing with what you're reading, and If you have gotten into the habit of leading your family in prayer, or maybe as you pray with your family and you each get to pray and to lead others in prayer, and you're thinking a lot about what the others are going to think of your praying. But Jesus is the one who should have hold of our heart as we pray. We are praying and He is listening. Prayer becomes fellowship. This has been one of the themes of this short letter. Back in verse 2 or verse 3 of chapter 1, he said, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." And truly our fellowship, our shared life, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Prayer becomes fellowship. Answered prayer then becomes an affirmation of your faith in Him. It becomes not just an awareness that prayer works, that prayer is a means by which God has ordained to do things, and you pray to Him, and then what you asked for, He gives you, and you say, "Aha, just as God said, we ask and we have what we ask, and it works." But it's even sweeter than that. Because when He answers, you remember all those times that you were praying, and you realize, He was listening to me then, and He was listening to me then, and He was listening to me then, and He was listening to me then. You may have been praying for something or for someone for many years, hundreds and thousands of times. And on the day that God answers that prayer, you realize, and even if you don't get to see or know that He gives you the particular thing that you're asking, you may know now. But when He answers a prayer, you realize He was listening every single time. He was regarding the sound of my voice. I who am but breathing dirt, but God who has given me life and given me Christ was listening to me. What a holy and wonderful thing is prayer, and how sweet it becomes when we have assurance of faith. What use do you make of your opportunities for fellowship with the Lord Jesus? Specifically, what use are you making of prayer as fellowship? Many a young man or young woman recently married or otherwise can't wait to get away for a few moments for the one to speak and the other to listen, and for the other to speak and the one to listen. What use do you make of getting away to the Lord Jesus sometime, hopefully not too far in the future? We'll hear the Song of Songs preached, and we'll rejoice over the Lord Jesus and His desire to get us alone with Himself, and how the Spirit stirs up in believers a desire to get alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. What use do we make of prayer as fellowship? Well, it's not just a confidence in Him and a confidence that He hears. It's a confidence in which we ask great things. And He actually says this three different ways in these two short verses. First, if we ask anything. That is an invitation, an implied instruction, command to ask great things. If He says, if we ask anything, what is especially being covered by that anything? The little things, the small things that small faith would dare to ask? No, he says, if we ask anything, so that we might remember that it is the great things especially that are covered by that anything, very closely related to that, according to His will. You want to know the prayer. If you want to see a prayer or think of a prayer in which great things are asked for, look no further than what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And why do we pray that way? Why does Jesus say, pray this way? Hallowed be Your name. It's a great thing. Thy kingdom come. It's a great thing. Thy will be done is a great thing. The forgiveness of sins, the providential sparing of temptation, the deliverance from every evil. Such great things that the foundation upon which it all rests, the certainty that it shall all be answered, comes from Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Do you remember what Jesus says just before He teaches us to pray like that greatly? Says, Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask. Therefore, pray this way. He says, Here's how to pray according to his will. So he says, if we ask anything, he says, according to his will. And then in verse 15, he says, whatever we ask, similar again to the if we ask anything, whatever we ask. And he says, God tells you about a lot of things that are his will. He feeds you. He gives you the food that you need every day. He gives you the clothing that you need every day. He gives you the trouble that you need every day. He gives you to pray for everything that you need. He gives you to pray for those little things. But when he says, whatever we ask, he's instructing us, teaching us to pray also for the great things that the Bible teaches us are according to his will. And so the confidence that we have by assurance of faith is not just a confidence in him and a confidence that he hears us. It's a confidence to ask great things. Perhaps you are like the one who is preaching, and you have sometimes come to ask things according to his word. And as soon as you start praying for those things, you realize how much unbelief there is in your heart. You're asking for revival, or you're asking for the heart of a particular hard-hearted person to be changed, or for the salvation of another, and you're pressing on in prayer because you know that these are things that the Bible teaches you should be praying for, and you realize, I hardly believe. In fact, so much of me seems to be disbelieving, even as I pray, God, forgive me, that he would do this. And yet confidence in him is confidence to ask great things. What a great reason. What a motivation to seek assurance of faith, knowing that this assurance of faith is part of the confidence that produces in us a confidence in him, a part of which is a confidence to ask great things, desiring that he would be glorified by what he hears us say, that he would be glorified by giving us what we are asking for. You see, the greater things are the ones that show just who it is that we have. Now, you would not do something so gross or crass, so forgive the illustration, but if all you were doing was praying for bread, you could pray to a grocer. But if you are praying for the great things, you make it plain that the one that you're praying to is the one who can do these great things. Again, ask Jesus for such things as no papist would ever dare to ask one of his little created saints, unto whom he commits the idolatry of praying, which is an act of worship. Ask Jesus for things that only God could ever do, even instrumentally speaking, that no creature, no mere instrument could ever do those things. The confidence that we have is confidence in him, confidence that he hears us, confidence to ask great things. And then, as we have already implied from the beginning, confidence that he answers. If we know that he hears us, if we know that he is the one who brought us into this relationship, and one of the reasons he brought us into this relationship is in order to make us to pray so that we might enjoy fellowship with him, and he might give and enjoy giving to us fellowship with himself, and that he has willed to work in response to our praying. He's the one who has set all this up. He's the one who's designed it all to be this way. And his great love is to gather unto himself all those whom he has intended to redeem and bring into this fellowship from before the world began. Of course, whatever is according to his will, whatever is unto his glory, whatever is unto your and any of his people's good, he is going to do. We know. If we know that he hears us, if we know that this is what prayer is, God listening to me because he brought me into Christ, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for him. And you come and you pray, if it be your will, laying hold of his willingness, laying hold of his wisdom, laying hold of his goodness, not thinking, here's something that might be too good for me to get or too great for me to expect, but rather knowing, however great, however good, God is doing it because he brought me to pray for this reason, to answer in his greatness and his goodness. Oh, the Lord give you to believe the truth about Jesus. The Lord give you this confidence that we have in him, to know that you belong to him, that you are in him, to know that he hears you as you're praying, to ask for great things, and to have confidence that he is giving you what you are asking for. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give not only faith, but assurance of faith. We pray that you would give us the confidence of those who have Jesus Christ and have eternal life and have your ear and are able to ask you for great things. Make us, we pray, faithful in praying, and give us a holy greed for the greater things, not greed in fleshly things, but a holy desire for the great and the glorious things that you have intended in Christ. And make us certain as we pray that you are answering. For we ask it through him. Amen.